Volume 34, number 9 of the Ensign Magazine for September 2004. Copyright 2004 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. First Presidency Message, In Opposition to Evil, by President Gordon B. Hinckley. One evening I picked up the morning paper, which I had not previously read, and thumbed through its pages. My eyes stopped on the theater ads, so many of them, an open appeal to witness that which is debauching, that which leads to violence and illicit sex. I turned to my mail and found a small magazine which lists the television fair for the coming week and saw titles of shows aimed in the same direction. A news magazine lay on my desk. This particular issue was devoted to the rising crime rate. Articles in the magazine spoke of additional billions for increased police forces and larger prisons. The flood of pornographic filth, the inordinate emphasis on sex and violence, are not peculiar to North America. The situation is as bad in Europe and in many other areas. The whole dismal picture indicates a weakening rot seeping into the very fiber of society. Legal restraints against deviant moral behavior are eroding under legislative enactments and court opinions. This is done in the name of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of choice in so-called personal matters. But the bitter fruit of these so-called freedoms has been enslavement to debauching habits and behavior that leads only to destruction. A prophet speaking long ago aptly described the process when he said, "And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell." 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 21. On the other hand, I am satisfied that there are millions upon millions of good people in this and in other lands. For the most part, husbands are faithful to wives, and wives to husbands. Their children are being reared in sobriety, industry, and faith in God. Given the strength of these, I am one who believes that the situation is far from hopeless. I am satisfied that there is no need to stand still and let the filth and violence overwhelm us or to run in despair. The tide, high and menacing as it is, can be turned back if enough of the kind I have mentioned will add their strength to the strength of the few who are now effectively working. I believe the challenge to oppose this evil is one from which members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as citizens, cannot shrink. I should like to suggest 4 points of beginning in our efforts to oppose the tide of evil. The first, begin with yourself. Reformation of the world begins with reformation of self. It is a fundamental article of our faith that we believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, and virtuous. The 13th article of faith. We cannot hope to influence others in the direction of virtue unless we live lives of virtue. The example of our living will carry a greater influence than will all the preaching in which we might indulge. We cannot expect to lift others unless we stand on higher ground ourselves. Respect for self is the beginning of virtue in man. That man who knows that he is a child of God, created in the image of a divine Father, and gifted with the potential for the exercise of great and godlike virtues, will discipline himself against the sordid, lasciviousness elements to which all are exposed. Said Alma to his son Helaman, "Look to God and live." Alma, chapter 37, verse 47. It is a matter of more than passing interest that the Lord, as he spoke to the multitude on the mount, included this marvelous declaration, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. A wise man once said, "Make of yourself an honest man, and there will be one rascal fewer in the world." And it was Shakespeare who put into the mouth of one of his characters this persuasive injunction, "To thine own self be true." And it must follow, as the night the day, "Thou canst not then be false to any man." I should like to give to all men and women who may read these words a challenge to lift their thoughts above the filth, to discipline their acts into examples of virtue, to control their words so that they can speak only that which is uplifting and leads to growth. And now my second point of beginning. A better tomorrow begins with a training of a better generation. This places upon parents the responsibility to do a more effective work in the rearing of children. The home is the cradle of virtue, the place where character is formed and habits are established. Family home evening is the opportunity to teach the ways of the Lord. You know that your children will read. They will read books, and they will read magazines and newspapers. Cultivate within them a taste for the best. While they are very young, read to them the great stories which have become immortal because of the virtues they teach. Expose them to good books. Let there be a corner somewhere in your house, be it ever so small, where they will see at least a few books of the kind upon which great minds have been nourished. Let there be good magazines about the house, those which are produced by the church and by others, which will stimulate their thoughts to ennobling concepts. Let them read a good family newspaper, that they may know what is going on in the world without being exposed to the debasing advertising and writing so widely found. When there is a good movie in town, consider going to the theater as a family. Your very patronage will give encouragement to those who wish to produce this type of entertainment. And use that most remarkable of all tools of communication, television, to enrich their lives. There is so much that is good, but it requires selectivity. Let those who are responsible for any efforts to put suitable family entertainment on television know of your appreciation for that which is good, and also of your displeasure with that which is bad. In large measure, we get what we ask for. The problem is that so many of us fail to ask, and more frequently, fail to express gratitude for that which is good. Let there be music in the home. If you have teenagers who have their own recordings, you will be prone to describe the sound as something other than music. Let them hear something better occasionally. Expose them to it. It will speak for itself. More appreciation will come than you may think. It may not be spoken, but it will be felt, and its influence will become increasingly manifest as the years go by. Now my third point of beginning. The building of public sentiment begins with a few earnest voices. I am not one to advocate shouting defiantly or shaking fists and issuing threats in the faces of legislators, but I am one who believes that we should earnestly and sincerely and positively express our convictions to those given the heavy responsibility of making and enforcing our laws. The sad fact is that the minority who call for greater liberalization, who peddle and devour pornography, who encourage and feed on licentious display, make their voices heard until those in our legislatures may come to believe that what they say represents the will of the majority. We are not likely to get that which we do not speak up for. Let our voices be heard. I hope they will not be shrill voices, but I hope we shall speak with such conviction that those to whom we speak shall know of the strength of our feeling and the sincerity of our effort. Remarkable consequences often flow from a well-written letter and a postage stamp. Remarkable results come of quiet conversation with those who carry heavy responsibilities. Declared the Lord to this people, "Wherefore be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind." This is the essence of the matter, the heart and a willing mind. Speak to those who enact the regulations, the statutes and the laws, those in government on local, state, and national levels, and those who occupy positions of responsibility as administrators of our schools. Of course, there will be some who will slam the door, some who will scoff. Discouragement may come. It has always been thus. Edmund Burke, speaking on the floor of the House of Commons in 1783, declared concerning the advocate of an unpopular cause. He well knows what snares are spread about his path. He is traduced and abused for his supposed motives. He will remember that obloquy is a necessary ingredient in the composition of all true glory. He will remember that calumny and abuse are essential parts of triumph. The Apostle Paul, in his defense before Agrippa, gave an account of his miraculous conversion while on the way to Damascus, declaring that the voice of the Lord commanded him to rise and stand upon thy feet. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. I think the Lord would say to us, rise and stand upon thy feet, and speak up for truth and goodness and decency and virtue. Finally, my fourth point of beginning, strength to do battle begins with enlisting the strength of God. He is the source of all true power, declared Paul to the Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. The tide of evil flows. Today it has become a veritable flood. Most of us living somewhat sheltered lives have little idea of the vast dimensions of it. Billions of dollars are involved for those who pour out pornography, for those who peddle lasciviousness, for those who deal in perversion, in sex, and violence. God give us the strength, the wisdom, the faith, the courage as citizens to stand in opposition to these, and to let our voices be heard in defense of those virtues, when practiced in the past, made men and nations strong, and which, when neglected, brought them to decay. God lives. He is our strength and our helper. As we strive, we shall discover that legions of good men and women will join with us. Let us begin now. Ideas for home teachers. After you prayerfully prepare, share this message using a method that encourages the participation of those you teach. A few examples follow. 1. Ask family members if any of them have ever spoken out for good entertainment in the community. Have they discussed the subject with friends and associates? Ask them to brainstorm what they might do to support entertainment that is uplifting. 2. Read the quotation from Hamlet, shared by President Hinckley. To thine own self be true, and then the latter part of Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 45. Beginning with, let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Ask family members how we are being true to ourselves, when we maintain virtuous thoughts, and what the Scripture means for us as individuals, when it says, then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God. 3. Read the quotation from Edmund Burke. Talk about the costs of courage. Emphasize the benefits of speaking out for a righteous cause. 4. Ask family members to suggest some ways they as individuals can heed President Hinckley's call to begin now in the fight against evil in society. End of the First Presidency Message, In Opposition to Evil, by President Gordon B. Hinckley.